was weak.
That was weak.
I apologize.
So, hi. Welcome to my interview.
Hi, Nico. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, first, just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, who you are.
Oh, my goodness. My background. My name is Jen Richards. I was born in Mississippi. I'm from the South. All my family's in the South. I came to Chicago when I was 8. I've been here ever since. I live up in the Andersonville neighborhood of Chicago, where we are right now. I'm the managing director of 8th Blackbird, a contemporary classical chamber ensemble, which I dearly love, and president of New Music Chicago, the creator of We Happy Trans, moderator of Trans Chat, and many, many other things.
What is Trans Chat, before I forget to ask?
Trans Chat is a now monthly discussion that takes place on Twitter, centering around a particular topic of interest to trans people.
And how did that come about?
A friend of mine, Avery Fawcett, who's out in Maryland, they and I and a few other people just kind of got in the habit of, I think it's Saturday or Sunday mornings, we would often just end up tweeting at each other about particular trans topics. And finally, at one point, Avery said, why don't we just formalize this, throw up a hashtag, we'll call it Trans Chat, mm-hmm. and make it a regular thing. And we started doing it. It was every other week for a while. And it grew really fast until we had a lot of people participating, and it got kind of big. So we kind of formalized the process and started having moderators and topics that were picked ahead of time, and we provide resources. And it's on a regular time every month now. And it's just a really great way to both meet other trans people and to kind of discuss a particular topic in real time.
And what comprises a trans topic? You said trans topics.
Sure. So what was our last one? I'm trying to remember our last one. We had one on housing. This next one, which is this Sunday, is going to be on mental disabilities and trans intersections.
Okay.
We had one on sex, which is really good. There's an archive I could show you, like all the different topics we've had. It's all online.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. And I mean, I know this probably, to you, sounds like a silly question, but why do you do it?
I think at first it was just a really convenient way to meet other trans people. Once people started noticing the hashtag and realized there was a conversation going on around a topic that was relevant to them, it was a great way to engage with others in dialogue and kind of get a sense of their tone and where they're coming from, get different perspectives, have encounters with people you might not otherwise. It's very easy for trans people, for any population, for any subgroup, to become completely surrounded by people just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way. These kinds of mediums like Twitter are a great way to expose yourself to people of different types. So we have people that from all over the English-speaking world, from Australia, New Zealand, the UK, participate. Really diverse, you know, people of color and different ages, and it's both male, female, and non-binary, and genderqueer, so it's a really wide population.
And what kind of relationships have you personally built from that?
Many. Actually, a lot of the people I'm friends with now, some even in real life, were originally because of Trans Chat.
Cool. And what kinds of impacts do you think that has on the people who do join, I feel like is an odd word,
participate
in Trans Chat?
I'd love to say that it helps at raising discourse and kind of shifting the debate on particular topics. But given the nature of Twitter, I'm a little bit skeptical to make such a bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
It does cause people to think. It does raise points that we might not otherwise. But I think the real value, again, is just the community building. I think the dialogue becomes more of a platform for building community rather than for, you know, it's a community that's coming together to discuss a particular topic. So I think all the relationships that have come out of Trans Chat are really what's most valuable.
And how do you think that specifically kind of ties into the work that you're doing at We Happy Trans? Because I see them, and probably you do too, as being very linked.
I suppose they're linked in my mind in that they're both continuations of something I've done my entire life, which is just bring people together around some particular idea that I've been doing for as long as I can remember. So it's a natural extension of that that approach and that attitude. I like being surrounded by people, and I like to have interesting conversations.
Yeah. You said that you have a background in that. Explain.
Oh, gosh. Well, it probably started... I mean, the first thing I can really think of is in high school, I ran an underground newspaper where I would bring together writers and artists and all kinds of different people together. And this is back in the days when cut and paste literally meant like we would cut out articles from, you know, like we would type them up on a typewriter, cut them, and then paste them on a single sheet, and then photocopy the whole thing and created a newspaper.
Fancy.
Yeah, back in the days before computers. I'm old.
ye old technology.
That's right. And it was really powerful. It was very important to me that there be a certain level of quality even to this, you know, high school underground newspaper at the time. And we actually raised some serious issues in the paper, including there was a teacher who was sexually harassing students, and we talked about it. There was some sex education. There was a sex education fiasco during a high school seminar, and we talked about that. And in both cases, like, changes were made after our newspaper came out. And teachers would sometimes, like, when the flyer would come out, they would make it the topic of conversation for class that day. And it was just my first real witnessing of the power that that ideas and dialogue can have. And also the sheer fun of bringing together a bunch of people that I liked around creating something. So that was probably the real first. And then I got involved with a nonprofit called the Theosophical Society, which is a spiritual organization that's based out in the suburbs. I became involved when I was 19. And there was a youth group just forming then. There were about like 6 or 7 of us. And it kind of took off, and I became the leader of it. And then I took it national, and it became a national movement. And through that, I was eventually elected to the National Board of Directors for the whole organization across the country, and ran workshops and study groups and seminars all over the country for that. And again, was just really enamored with this notion of, like, you bring together a bunch of people around a particular idea, a particular place or topic or some kind of similarity, and then magic just happens of its own accord. And I find that really intoxicating. Beyond that, it's what I do with work. With my work with New Music Chicago, a lot of what we do is just bringing people together to collaborate on large-scale projects. We just did a thing this Sunday in Millennium Park where we had 100 musicians participating spread throughout the park to do a musical performance. And there's a kind of excitement that comes with working at that scale that you just can't achieve in any other way.
And what was the performance?
It's a piece of music called Inixuit by the composer John Luther Adams. It's scored for anywhere from 9 to 99 musicians, and we went for the 99. And it's an hour-long piece that's meant to be performed outdoors. And we did it in Millennium Park in the middle of a thunderstorm.
Oh, what was that like?
It was astonishing. It was just one of those rare pieces of performative magic where the storm came about midway through, right as the music was climaxing, and not a single musician even flinched. They raised their intensity to match the weather and played right through the storm. And we had a couple thousand people, audience members, that stayed through the whole thing and either just embraced the rain and got soaked or huddled up under umbrellas and just witnessed the magic firsthand. It was a really, really special event. In fact, the reviewer for the Sun-Times, Andrew Patner, is one of the big reviewers in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I know Andrew Patner.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
He described it as one of the best experiences in 40 years of concert going.
That's incredible. That's very high praise
from
Andrew Patner.
Yes, it is.
Who is very hard to get that praise from.
Yeah, I know, I agree. And I trust his judgment. It was a really special day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm officially really sad I wasn't there.
It was astonishing.
Can you do an encore?
People keep asking me, and I know. It took us 2 years to put that together. We're not going to do it again.
I was joking, but yeah, I can imagine that's so much work.
We did it in New York, and we did it in Australia. So I think next we'd probably do it on the West Coast, if at all. But it's a major undertaking.
What would be your dream location to have it?
Millennium Park was my dream location.
Oh, really?
That was where I'd always really wanted to do it.
And what was it like to see your dreams unfold like that?
Oh, it's it's amazing. It's a really satisfying experience. I mean, that's the kind of work I like to do. I like to do the work leading up to making something happen and then be able to just sit back and be anonymous and enjoy it. We did a festival last year that it also was about 2 years in the making. It was a celebration of a composer named Steve Reich.
Mm-hmm.
And 9,000 people came. We had good weather. And I got to sit on the lawn and hear one of my all-time favorite pieces of music being played by some of my all-time favorite musicians and one of the greatest sound systems in the world while having a glass of wine with my friends and know that I helped make that happen. It's a tremendously satisfying feeling.
Is that kind of your own philosophy as an artist, to just be this conduit or this center that brings people together?
It's not so much a philosophy as a habit, I suppose.
Okay.
I'm not an artist myself. I just like bringing artists together. I'm not an academic or even really an intellectual, to be fair. I just like bringing all those people together because I think something really special happens when you do.
Yeah, and I guess you would be more of an organizer of artists.
I suppose so, yeah.
And Is there a place that comes from for you? Or is it just a habit that formed?
Apparently it's just a habit. I mean, I am a triple Aquarius. So maybe that's a factor. But
I'm not a horoscope person. So what does that mean?
I dabbled in astrology for a while. I think it's a really fun and rich system of symbolism that can provide insights into personality if you reflect on it. And the three major factors in anyone's birth chart, you know, mm-hmm. the constellation at the time that they were born, is your sun sign, which is kind of your outward personality.
Okay.
Your essential personality, your ego, yourself. Your rising sign, which is whatever sign is on the horizon the minute you were born, which often influences your outward personality, your persona. And then your moon sign, which is your kind of internal self, your unconscious, your emotional, your intimate side. Most people have three different signs. Mm-hmm. That's more typical. And so often, if you're describing someone in astrological terms, you want to know their sun, moon, and rising, because you need to know at least that much to really get a sense of who they are. Because you might be known as a Leo, but if your rising sign is Cancer, the face that you're going to present to most people is more Cancerian than Leo, etc. I'm a rare person in that my sun, my moon, and my rising are all Aquarius.
What does that mean for you?
Well, Aquarians, again, I mean, this is just a symbolic system. I don't mean this literally. But
no, that's okay. I'm into the Myers-Briggs test, so I get
okay.
that.
Well, I'm an ENFP, too, for